From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Jim Riley. A small single-engine airplane crashed in a field in Newburgh, killing the 80-year-old experienced pilot. Alan Upright was flying alone. After a two-month undercover investigation, Medford police have busted 26 people for alleged methamphetamine sales. The drug problem is so fragrant there that it's taking place within a few blocks of the police department. Methamphetamine places are springing up like lemonade stands in Medford. A $20,000 reward is being offered to catch a Seattle area bank robber the FBI calls a bash bandit. He uses rocks, car batteries, and logs to smash into banks and rob them. Rain all weekend. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Alrighty then.
Hot Talk 1080.
You're the greatest.
KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. The Rick Emerson Show. We're just ahead of Peter Carlin, TV critic from The Oregonian. Going to join us here in a few minutes. Later on this hour, top five Frank Sinatra songs of all time. Well, that last hour was just an abortion, wasn't it? That started off, you know, going in this nice, linear sort of progression, real clean, and then just... right into just a big, huge avalanche of garbage right down a hill into a disposal. Man, how is that? All right. In any event, this is all the fault of Parker Brothers. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. I've always had this theory, though, that they intentionally put a few incorrect answers into the Trivial Pursuit game just in case. Because remember how Jen Lane, Barfly, she had that magazine that was, it was like out and out stolen from her, that it, whatever it was called. Something.
Not worth remembering.
Drinking Tiger or something. Some you know, whatever, bar, animal. And it was stolen from her, but the reason she knew that is because they even stole the typos. Like, they stole the mistakes from her. So I think the Trivial Pursuit guys do that, too.
Either that or it's to test geeks like you to see if anybody's paying attention.
That's what I'm saying. I think I ought to get a prize or something when I alert Parker Brothers to the egregious error.
Maybe they do have some kind of, you know, monetary compensation.
Sort of a scavenger hunt sort of a thing. All right. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It all started when Aaron Geek in the City gave the incorrect answer to a query sent in by a listener. And now he's being challenged. You know what it is? It's like being the Waco kid. You know, you're just being challenged by every pissant prairie punk that packs a pistol. You know what I mean? All right. Let's welcome to the show Haiku Master Aaron on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. What's up, man?
It's a pleasure to talk to you after so long, Rick.
What do you got, brother?
Well, I thought I would offer myself up as a sacrifice and challenge the geek in the city, despite the fact that I know that he is an accomplished geek. And even though he made a mistake.
And so you're trying to take him on for his title, for his crown?
I'll take him on if only to prove that he's a genius.
Oh, I see. So you want to offer yourself up so he can smack you down and once again regain his rightful place atop the pop culture throne.
Exactly. Being wrong once does not mean that you're a bad person.
No, it's true. And, I mean, he's batting, you know, I don't know, he's whatever a good batting average is. If only I knew about sports. See, that's the thing. Everybody's got their pop culture Achilles tendon, too. Their Achilles heel. For me, it's sports and, like, we were talking about Seinfeld. Like, I know next to nothing about Seinfeld. Because I just never watch it. So we might have just hit the one area that he doesn't, you know, have a mastery of. It's entirely possible.
Pathetically doesn't have a mastery of.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Don't. What makes it worse, though, do you remember when we did the name that movie quote contest to play the part of the corpse in the short film Remote Control that we made earlier this year that's in post-production right now? So there's this guy named Tyler and a guy named Todd that were the two finalists who went head-to-head in a quote naming competition. And this guy, Todd, won. And Tyler just snuffed it, man. I mean, Tyler just bombed it miserably. But ended up kind of working in the film anyway. It's just sort of, you know, kind of, he helped us out with some sound stuff. But he's on set, and Aaron is on set, too, doing some stuff. And Aaron the entire time is just relentlessly mocking him. So there we are on location shooting the film. And every time there's a break in the filming, Aaron would just walk by and just taunt the guy mercilessly and relentlessly. So, I don't know. Maybe that the karmic wheel is coming around. I don't know. Let's see. We got Leonard. You're on a cell phone. You're on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. What's up?
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What do you got, man?
When was the last time Joey drove anyplace where the speed limit was over 40?
I don't know. I just, you know, it's, I'm not saying that men are always better drivers. I'm saying that men I'm saying that men just get there, you know, quickly. So,
It's like as the crow flies. Just how do you get there and let's go? I'm on the 5 going north right now. Just came out of Eugene, and it's raining. It was.
Yeah.
And some girl, under the age of probably 21, comes flying by me in about 90, a little red Honda. Tell Joey to come take a ride down south and just stay in the right-hand lane and see what happens.
Yeah, you just gotta
send Jolie back east to Boston and see how well she fares.
There's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
It's not just news, it's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
There's controversy at the Sheriff's Department in Kern County, that's in Bakersfield, California. It surrounds a patrol car which carried a message that some found offensive. The decal on the side of the car read, "We'll kick your ass." Turned out to be some stuff, but a lot of people don't think it's funny. The sheriff found out who put them on, and they've been reprimanded. Still, people are very upset about that. From Channel 8 in Idaho Falls comes word that at least 4 teenagers have been injured when police fired paintballs at them during a hostage drill. Police officers and sheriff's deputies used Madison High for the drill. Students were told it would happen, but they didn't know when. Yesterday, police entered the building taking volunteer students to shoot paintballs at. Randy Weatherson said she thought it'd be fun to participate until she was used as a human shield and shot at 10 times. She has bruises on her arms and legs. Many other students were also hurt in this mock hostage crisis from this paintball thing. So that's from Idaho Falls, Idaho. Next news, when it happens, I'm Tim Riley.
All right, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. With a heart full of hate and a head full of snakes, it's Oregonian TV critic at large, Peter Carlin. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
Hey, let me ask you this. What does it mean when they say a reporter is at large?
A reporter, I think it generally means that you have some sort of contractual relationship, but not necessarily are an employee of that organization.
That just means that they won't actually hire you yet.
Something like that, or else you're like in some kind of a, or else maybe you're like some free-ranging Bigfoot who steals the best assignments from the other reporters who all hate you.
So at large might also just mean a-hole.
Yeah,
excellent.
Possibly.
Hey, a couple of things. I know you're under the gun. You got much stuff going on today, but I don't know. The big story, I mean, at least for us, the big story all week is the increasingly downward blackened spiral of Joe Lieberman's political career.
Yeah. Is that a surprise?
No, but it's like the only surprise that he's just been able to resist suicide for so long. I mean, it's like, do you wonder, like, at what point, I mean, especially because he found out from CNN or from a press leak or something. Like, he didn't even hear it from Gore.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was probably an oversight on Gore's part, or certainly an oversight, and maybe, I think I would have to think that he probably wishes he had played that one a little differently.
Yeah.
I mean, a little heads up beforehand, but, you know, obviously that's not a fun call, but I guess if you've been vice president for 8 years, you've made a lot of unfun calls.
Well, but especially after Lieberman had already said that he would get out of the race if Gore was going to run.
Yeah.
You know, and then Gore just like shivs him. You know, it's like Adebisi standing right behind you in the mess line at Oz. So, and it's just a bad scene. But I guess the GOP is now saying that they are assuming now that Dean is going to be the nominee.
Yeah. Well, you know. At this point, it sort of looks like something odd. I mean, obviously, we're in a situation where not a single vote has been cast in any primary campaigns or primary elections, so it's a little early to declare anyone the winner. But leading indicators seem to point to that.
Right.
Whether that changes, I don't know. It could change.
So what's coming up? I got to admit, I actually haven't had a chance to read the paper much at all this week. So what's coming up TV-wise?
You mean like actually showing up on the tube?
Is there anything I need to watch, or is it just the same swill with a different packaging?
Well, if you get the HBO, and I believe you do,
yes,
Angels in America is just fantastic.
Is that the, who the hell is in that?
Well, it's got your Meryl Streep and Al Pacino and Emma Thompson and a bunch of other people who are not as well known but are equally as brilliant in that 6-hour dramatic presentation.
And this is...
Tony Kushner played, won a Pulitzer in the early 90s, late 80s, about the AIDS crisis. And it's just sort of a meditation on America as a whole and et cetera, et cetera. It's a very, very cool piece of work. I saw the play when it was in town about 10 or 12 years ago, and... But I wasn't prepared for how good this is.
Well, you know, HBO gets all that stuff. I mean, it's HBO. The words made for HBO film always, I mean, those are kind of a gold stamp of quality.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing. And I sort of, I was writing a thing today. I had like a little Christmas list, a little Santa's little helper list for people, for if you're shopping for your TV-loving friends and family. And one of the things I put on the list was HBO. Get HBO. It's you know, I guess it's relatively expensive every month, and God only knows they probably make you buy like 15 other channels you don't want to get that level of service. But, you know, I mean, for most everyone who's tired of the network swill, as you put it so colorfully, that's the one place to go where night after night after night, the stuff is really pretty damn good.
Seriously, and it's like you can turn on, it's not, I mean, if you're a sports fan too, I mean, not to turn this into a big infomercial for HBO, but if you're a sports fan at all, they got, you know, they got the boxing and they got all that, you know, they got
the
stuff.
The sweet science, that's what I like to call it.
The sweet science.
It's so sweet. That's why I love that term, because it's, boxing is the antithesis both of sweet, since it involves people hitting the crap out of each other, and it doesn't seem particularly scientific to me either.
No, it is the only real sport, though. Boxing, to me, is the only real, true, pure sport that there is, apart from the actual sort of Roman Greco wrestling. It's the only real sport. You know why? Because here's why. Because it's the only sport that doesn't depend on other people on a team, on equipment, on weather. I mean, you know, what do you got? Shoes and gloves. That's it, man. It's two guys in a ring. One guy, you know, gets up. One guy doesn't. You know, and that's it. That's the end. It's the only pure sport, in my opinion.
Well, but if your definition of purity springs from war, yes, I suppose you're right.
Well, I'm
but my friend, what has not entered this discussion is the lingerie bowl.
Yeah, well, that is, now that's what is that? That's going to be on. It's
the
just
halftime of the Super Bowl.
It's chicks
pay per view event.
It's chicks playing tackle football or something.
It's seven
right?
chicks on a side. Or women, I should say. Though, to be honest, these are like hot top model actresses, and I think they
they're
probably
chicks.
Would feel happy to be called chicks.
Yeah.
And they're going to be dressed in lingerie, adapted for contact sports, and they're going to be, you know, rolling around, and it's going to be kind of like an... I think what they want you to think, and what I would be happy to... perpetuate here is it's going to be like a vaguely organized cat fight.
See, how is it that anybody would not want to move to America? How could they hate us?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, how could they not hate us is another question.
Well, you know, it's like, well, you know, you say tomato, I say mm-mm-mm. That's, you know, I don't know if this is true or not, but I did see that, I think I read that Bravo actually is going to be doing, it's either Bravo or the Travel Channel is going to be doing some big poker tournament directly. They're going to be counter-programming against the Super Bowl with a huge poker fest because they've decided that's the best way to try to capture dudes who aren't into football.
Well, you know what? Well, we had this conversation when we watched the Super Bowl together. Was that last year, 2 years
ago?
Yeah,
we did. It was last year.
Yeah. The whole, like, how, like, I mean, this is going to get me in trouble again. How terribly homoerotic the whole football thing is.
Completely. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was unspooling that riff again for my little lingerie bowl story, which we'll run in the Oregonian tomorrow. Make sure to buy one for mom.
Not only that, but I mean, it's like at the, you know, but at the climax of every game, you know, there's a guy on the sidelines at the climax of every game who gets soaked in liquid by all of his fellow teammates. You know, for having led them to the triumphant climax, they cover his body with liquid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you, you know, I know, we all know what we're talking about there. So.
We really do. So
all
I'm
right.
wondering if the lingerie bowl is just going to sort of mess up that whole vibe. The man-on-man vibe that people are really spinning on all afternoon.
I was promised there would be hot male-on-male action.
Yeah, all right.
Dear cable company, I am distressed. All right, I know you got to go do some stuff. We will talk again next week. Enjoy your weekend, man.
Hey, you too.
All right, there. You can read him in print in the Oregonian and online, OregonLive.com. It's Peter Carlin, TV critic extraordinaire from the Oregonian. Around the corner, we got today's top five Frank Sinatra songs of all time. More electronic taunting of Aaron Geek in the City, who's probably regretting the day he ever decided to listen to this stupid show. Your phone calls, all that. Stay there. It's Hot Talk 1080 KOTK, Social Distortion.
only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's...
What are you smiling deviously about?
No, I was just talking about a thing. Well, okay. And Peter Carlin, I mean, because it's like, because last year at the Oregonian, Carlin was writing this article about, presumably about the, it was ostensibly about the commercials. But so I'm up there, and we're in the Oregonian building watching, you know, the Super Bowl together and just shoving food into our faces and taking notes about the Super Bowl. And he makes his comment early on about there's some guy hugging some other guy and, like, grinding his pelvis against him or whatever. And it's and Peter says, that looks vaguely homoerotic. And you know what the thing is? It's like how when you buy a new car, suddenly you see that car everywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, once he made that observation, then it's like everything we saw for the rest of the day. He's getting deep penetration on the quarterback. It's like everything for the rest of the day just seemed like, you know, frisky, what is that movie you rented?
Frisky Summer.
Frisky Summer.
I was just going to say, that makes football sound a lot more interesting to watch.
Frisky Summer, when Michael became a man, you know, or whatever it was. So that was the whole thing, man, just a bunch of greased up guys
maybe
and padding.
Maybe that's why football has always been my favorite sport.
Maybe, man, and one guy's bending over and shoving something between his legs to the guy behind him, and you know what I'm talking about. All right, here's, here's Sarah Travick.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, it's 2:22. I'm Tim Riley. This news brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell or trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE. And donate that car to Heritage for the Blind. That's 1-800-2-DONATE or go to taxdeduction.com. Danny DeVito plays the eccentric ringleader of a wacky Tim Burton-style circus in The Big Fish. He talks about Tim Burton having discovered an emotional theme in this film.
This time, he's brought us to another arena of emotion that is he's touched in very little ways in other movies, but more in Big Fish than any other film. And while we were making the movie, we knew that going in, that we were really experiencing something special, something not only a unique Tim Burton movie, but unique for Tim.
Danny, please share a story that your father told you as a child, but keep it under 20 seconds.
The big thing for me is we would sit at night upstairs in his room, and he would sit in his chair, and I would sit, you know, lay on the bed or lay around, and he would tell me stories of when he was a kid, just like Albert was telling his stories.
Ozzy update. Ozzy gained full consciousness yesterday and softly whispered, I love you.
Aww.
Family members at his bedside. Daughter Kelly says he woke up and he can't speak because of the tube in his mouth. However, he's able to mouth the words.
Or because he's Ozzy.
I love you.
He couldn't speak because he's Ozzy, perhaps. You know what I want to hear? I want to hear, attention, the wacky morning show song parodists. Yeah. I want to hear, instead of the three tenors, I want to hear something called the three tremors. And it would be Ozzy and the Pope. And either Keith Richards or Katharine Hepburn, you can take your pick, you know, and it would just be a lot of, you know, come on, the three tremors, Ozzy, the Pope, Katharine Hepburn.
Well, it's going to rain all weekend. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sons of bitches, that's funny. That's funny humor. Oh, would it be funnier if it was between Goo Goo Dolls records? Would you laugh then, you dicks? Huh?
Whoa, calm down.
He's up there, Happy.
I'm just saying, that was a funny joke.
You want us to praise your every idea?
Should we make this like a morning show where we just instantly laugh at anything you say?
Can you at least do the plastic insincere laughter?
Okay, wait, let's do the joke again.
I wish we had some Top 40 music here. We can do it, we'll do it morning show style here. They had to do one with Ozzy and the Pope and Katharine Hepburn. I think they call it the Three Tremors.
Okay,
we've got the Counting Crows up next and your chance to win the tickets and traffic and weather together. Okay. God, you know, even just pretending to do that makes me want to vomit. It's just, you do that and it's like, how do you even look in the mirror at a certain point? How is it that you don't wake up every morning and just put a goddamn pistol in your mouth? You know, wouldn't you just want to wake up and, oh, I've got to go be happy, I hate my life! You know, it's no wonder those, you know, anyway. Let's see, we've got the, oh, but before we, can I get all this stuff? Let's stop, get a hold of ourselves. into the top five Sinatra songs here in just a second. Yeah, there's a whole article. It's probably it's too late to probably see the actual paper, but you can see it online at OregonLive.com. Wednesday's Oregonian, big article on this. Well, it's on board games, kind of coming back for the new. Because we've talked about how I feel sorry for board games anyway, because they're, you know, because the time has sort of passed. But they're trying to revamp them for the kids. And the Trivial Pursuit, the cool thing is the icons, you know, the little pieces you move around the board. One's a cell phone, one's a lava lamp, one's an Atari 2600 joystick, and the other one's like a cassette tape or something. So that's kind of cool. So here, we got this one. Sarah, Dylan, in The Graduate, what one-word field is Benjamin, Dustin Hoffman, urged to go into by a family friend?
Law?
No. Matt Peterson.
One-word field.
All right. Tim Riley.
Don't know.
Yeah, not even.
Haberdashery.
No, it's plastic. Ben, I've got one word for you. Plastics. All right.
Been a long time since I've seen The Graduate.
What was the name of the Buckman's dog on Mad About You? Oh, even I know this one.
Sam?
Murray.
Fred.
All right, we're totally going to...
Wait, do one more.
I'm going to do two more, and if you guys can't get these, I'm just going to have you, I don't know, replaced by armchairs or something. Where did Brian Adams claim he got his first real six string?
Five and Dime.
There you go! Thank God! And how embarrassing that you got it first and you weren't even born. And finally,
the lyrics in my head, I didn't get there yet.
What game came with the original Atari 2600?
Asteroids?
Oh, please, Matt, don't plummet 1,000 stories in my estimation of you by not knowing this.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. It wasn't Pac-Man.
I'm not even going to answer it. That's how beneath all of us that question is. No.
In my defense, when I got my 2600, I got like five games with it all at the same time, so I don't know what came with it by itself.
Name the five.
You're an a-hole.
Well, I got a bunch of games. I got them all at the same time.
I got mine. Mumsy and Dadsy bought me an entire case of cartridges to come with it too.
Well, I did. I got a whole bunch of games all at once, so I don't know what game came with it all alone.
I also got a pony and a calliope to play in the backyard for all me friends that came over. You're a dick. All right, here's your top five for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show.
It's my fault that I had a lot of games for my Atari. What can I say?
I mean, my fault when you wake up without any legs.
I got a bunch of games when I got my Nintendo, too, so.
I'm gonna beat your ass, I swear to God. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you? All right, it's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
And it was on this date in 1915 that Francis Albert Sinatra set forth upon planet Earth to create a new style of cool, class, and total sophistication. He is the shadow of which all men should dwell forevermore. So draw near as we count down these, the top five Frank Sinatra songs of all time. With honorable mention going to Witchcraft.
Those fingers in my hair, that sly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft. And I've got no defense for it, the heat is too intense for it, what good would common sense for it do?
Listen to that, man. Listen to how great that is.
It's witchcraft.
And it's real simple, too. Just him, a little bit of reverb.
Witchcraft.
Just a little bit of echo there, instrumentation. Beautiful sound.
Number five, World on a String.
What a perfect song for Frank Sinatra to sing, too. I got the world on a string.
You know, funny thing about this album, when he recorded this, when he did the vocals for it, went into a studio 2 days, Saturday and a Sunday. Took him 2 days, did all the vocals for all 14 tracks, in and out.
Excellent. If you ever want to read a great book that has a lot of Frank Sinatra stories in it, it's a book called Rough Mix, which is it's by Jimmy Bowen, and it talks about the recording of Strangers in the Night and all that stuff.
Number four, Strangers in the Night.
Easy 107.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wondering
Just a voice like velvet, man. What did they say about Tony Bennett? The golden fog or the golden smog or whatever the hell he was?
Oh, that was Mel Torme.
Mel Torme. Ah, that's right, Mel Torme.
Something in your eyes was so inviting. Something in your smile.
You can just picture Tony and Carmela just sort of slowly wheeling around the kitchen to this late at night, lights low.
Told me I must have you.
Meadow off having sex with that no good boyfriend of hers. Tony Jr. off rolling drunks.
Two lonely people, we were strangers.
Polly strangling a hooker in a back alley somewhere.
Up to the moment when we said our first hello.
Number three, the lady is a tramp.
You can totally picture him just singing this, too. He's like standing there at the spider piano, snapping one finger, other, you know, the other hand leaning on the piano. Tie just a little loose.
He likes the
Hugh Hefner standing off to the side with Barbie Benton.
He's not leaning on the piano, though. He's reaching down to the piano for the glass
for
of scotch.
For the glass of scotch. And one of those glasses with the real thick bottom, the real thick base that's crystal.
And some not like the smooth ice cubes, the ones that are busted off,
yeah.
So they're all rough edge cubes.
We suck.
Number two,
doesn't
My
like
Way.
And now the end is near.
This is for everyone with the flu right now.
So I face the final.
Those who didn't get that vaccination.
My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each.
And by all rights, we should hate Frank Sinatra. That's the thing. You know? And by all rights, we should just be so filled with bitter envy that we should loathe him. But yet, no.
I did it.
If it wouldn't have been for the image of the Rat Pack, that might be true. But they were, you know, they were just fun-loving guys.
What are you gonna
do, man? You can't hate them.
Number one, New York, New York.
There you go. Happy birthday, Francis Albert Sinatra.
There's only one song that didn't make this list that should have somewhere. And that's One for My Baby.
Was One Sinatra's, for My Baby.
Was Sinatra's yeah. favorite song that he ever recorded.
I would have put The Way You Look Tonight on here. I'm a big fan of it. And,
start spreading the news.
And that song, the title cut to In the Wee Small Hours. That's a great song.
I'm leaving today.
All right. Is that your mom? It's just his mom. Yeah, Matt's
yeah,
mom.
You gotta grab her. Right.
Swell. Let's welcome to the show, Matt's mom. How are you, Sheila?
Hey, Rick.
What's
you know
up?
What? Listen to the show. I guess Eric and I love Matt more than your mom and dad love you.
Oh!
I like
just because it's true doesn't mean you have to rub it in.
You know, it's like one child versus how many siblings?
Six. Just because the Pope wasn't in your bedroom telling you you couldn't, you know. Just because the Pope wasn't there going, you have to have a child every time you have sex. So that's kind of what happened in our house.
I was raised Catholic. I have one child.
Yeah. No, well, I'm just saying, the wealth gets distributed a little differently when there's five other kids. We can't all be...
Same amount of wealth. I just got all five of the kids worth of stuff for me, so...
Yeah, we can't all be
little... all chopped it up.
20%. We can't all be little Cartmans, so there you go. All right.
Okay.
All right, there. Happy holidays, Sheila. There you go. Made you eat your parents. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Top five Sinatra songs. There you go. We'll be back after this.
There, I'll make it. Anywhere, it's up to you. New York, New York.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Sarah Dillon has the traffic now.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Don't even, friend. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. All right, I've got all of this so behind because, you know, the show was going really well, and then it just exploded. Like in a hail and a flurry of little show bits, it just fell out of the sky, thudding on the ground like so much whale blubber. Falling out of the sky. We got all this stuff. Hey, did you know that... Am I the last one to find out that Nicole Richie's like a smack addict?
I thought it was...
No,
What is smack?
What is smack?
I was ready to say I thought it was heroin, but then I don't know if they're the same thing.
What is poetry?
Let us know, Rick Emerson.
According to Dr. J. Evans Pritchard, Ph.D., smack... No, that's heroin. That's heroin, horse, the H, the nod, the train, dip, slam, bang, fuzz,
stop.
Giggle. I don't know. No, but that's heroin. This is from the AP. Nicole Richie, star of TV reality series The Simple Life, attended a progress hearing last Friday after she was sentenced for felony drug possession in October. Judge Lawrence Myra... was pleased to see that Richie had been maintaining her sobriety. Now she's due back for another progress report March 9th. Last February, Richie was slapped with a felony heroin possession charge and a misdemeanor count of driving with a suspended license in Malibu. She worked on The Simple Life by posting $10,000 bail. So there you go. So that's... Man, they ought to show that. Because she's another one that's... Man, she's another one that got hit repeatedly with the ugly stick. You know what
she's
I mean?
She's not that bad.
No, she's
well,
not.
She looks more like a real person than Paris Hilton does.
Yeah. But you know what she is? She's sort of like, if you ever watch I Love Lucy, she's sort of the Ethel to Paris's Lucy. You know, because Paris just sort of goes along and Nicole Richie just sort of flounces along after. Okay! You know, just kind of bouncing along, doing whatever. Anyway, I know this stuff I was going to get through here. Diary of Alicia Keys, which is a record no one cares about. Came out, soon to be forgotten by everybody. And we've got now, and I'm getting conflicting, or oh, by the way, let me just say this about something completely unrelated to that. I got the first Return of the King review from somebody I don't have time to read it next, it's like, man, it's like three pages, it just goes on and on and on. But I got the first Return of the King review from somebody in the audience, and man, you could just feel the saliva just coming off of the email. He was so exuberant about it. So he said it was just fantastic. But he says that he said he can confirm that the Alien versus Predator, poster exists. So, he's seen it. But we got this. Alien versus Predator may happen. Lance Henriksen shares, Lance Henriksen, who was, he was the guy who talked like this on Millennium. And was also Bishop
in Alien.
And he was also one of the cops in the original Terminator that gets killed. Lance Henriksen shared details of the long-awaited mother of all horror flicks with Fangoria. He told the Gore Movie Mag he will not reprise his role as Alien's android Bishop. He will play the droid's billionaire creator, who just happens to look like Bishop, who leads an exhibition. Boy, that's completely the wrong word that they've used here. The word actually is expedition. They, of course, have sent an exhibition where Alien and Predator face off, killing a number of human beings in the process. Paul Anderson, who created... Paul Anderson, who's like the worst director...
No, it could
director.
Be exhibition, like an exhibition
no,
game.
No, because you wouldn't take it to Antarctica. If you had an that's like saying you're going to have an exhibition of my painting.
No,
and you're
but,
take
but
it
they're
to...
having an exhibition of Alien versus Predator.
Well, in any event, it takes place in Antarctica where then the killing ensues. It doesn't matter. They go somewhere and wackiness and death ensue. Paul Anderson, who is possibly the worst director ever to walk upon the face of planet Earth, he directed Soldier, he directed Resident Evil, not to be confused with Paul Thomas Anderson, who actually knows what he's doing, directs the project already underway in, wait for it, Prague. Because that's where you want to be ensconced for a whole lot of time if you're not. You want to be in Prague. Several things to talk about here before we do a break. Let me talk to you about our good friends, the Muddy River Nightmare Band. Muddy River Nightmare Band with a Slopshot and the Confederates playing tonight at DV8. 10 p.m., the Muddy River Nightmare Band, a fine band. You want to go check those guys out tonight. Friday night, that's tonight, DV8, 10 p.m., Muddy River Nightmare Band. Also, at the Mount Tabor Pub, Pat Travers. And I don't even know how it is that Pat Travers got up on the band board.
One of the guys who works there actually called and requested that be put up.
So Pat Travers, you may remember him. He had a hit in the mid-'80s called Boom Boom Out Go the Lights. Which is not a bad song, kind of a blue, sort of a, kind of a George Thorogood, Jeff Healey kind of thing, without the, oops, I'm blind and I can't stand up. So Pat Travers, Mount Tabor Pub tonight, $10, 9 p.m. And then tomorrow, Majestic, Red Venus Love Army, and the Crack City Rockers, Mount Tabor Pub, tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m., $5. Majestic is a band that features Damon Stoudemire's cousin. You'd never know the name of the band is Majestic, though, because it's like they've spelled it by just hiring I don't know. They just, it's like they hired a 5-year-old to hit random keys on the keyboard until they came up with a, you know, with the name of a band. Like, they've spelled it all cleverly, ensuring that no one can actually see what it means. But it is pronounced Majestic. So you want to go see, those guys. All right. 503-250-1080 in Portland. What?
It turns out they probably have actually spelled their name correctly. That's just Sarah Dillon's botched spelling of the word.
No, but I'm saying she's written it M-A. No, yeah, she spelled it the way it is spelled, but they've spelled it with like a D and a Q and like a Z and
I'm
like
usually a pretty good speller.
No, no, no. They spell Majestic like Madge, the woman, like M-A-D-G-E. They spell it like tools,
okay, I thought you were ridiculing my
No, no,
spelling.
No. I mean, you've spelled it correctly. The point is, you're not going to go see him anyway. Who am I kidding? So it's all kind of academic at this point. You know what I'm saying? All right. Hey, I do want to take a brief, I want to bring the show down for just a moment. I want to take a brief moment. It was, I don't know, about 18 months, 2 years ago, something like that. So a couple years ago, right here on the Rick Emerson Show, when we did this for the first time, and now we're going to do it again, we'd like to pause to give the biggest of huge shout-outs to my girlfriend, the lovely Laura, who tonight finishes her schooling and graduates from OHSU, as I always knew she would. And so we've kind of charted her progress. And I was there when she decided she wanted to be a nurse. I was there when she started doing all her prereqs at community college. I was there when she got accepted to OHSU and when she got accepted into the advanced program. It's the first time they've ever done it. The first year they've ever done an accelerated program. And it's an experiment. They only did it with 18 people because they thought people might crack under the pressure. And they only did it with a small group of people because they didn't know if it would drive people nuts or not. And not only did it not drive her nuts, not only did she not crack, she is graduating with honors, and as I always knew, she was capable of. So anyway, so congratulations to my girlfriend, who will be a nurse about this time next week. I love you, and congratulations, and we'll play this one more time for you. This is Me First and the Gimme Gimmes for my girlfriend, Laura. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080. KOTK. Stay there. We'll be back.
Why are there so many songs about me?
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It's true. Meeting and surpassing all audience expectations on a daily basis. We were talking about my thing, Vila. Let me ask you this. It was like flat out stolen. Flat out stolen from Rush Limbaugh. And I understand that nobody's ever called me on it, and I think it's because I even do it as him. That's the thing. When I say, Let me, when I'm talking to Dick Uliano, let me ask you this. It's completely stolen from Rush. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. What's that? You say you don't know what to give this holiday season.
Should I give the people closest to me, Rick?
You've been up, down, all around, trying to get the feeling again. You've been high, you've been low, everywhere you possibly can go. But there's no trying to get that feeling again. Let me talk to you about a little thing called Bigger Than Jesus, The Diary of a Rock and Roll Fan, which is it's a one-man show that I did back in June. I'm going to be doing it again next week. And tickets are already moving for this. And we're not doing the thing where they, you know, like where we hold some and then we release them the day of the show. I mean, when they are gone, they are gone. So you want to be getting those. We will have details. You'll be able to buy some in person here next week. There's going to be a day next week. If you're not able to buy them online, where you'll be able to come by and purchase them next Thursday, actually. You'll be able to come by and get them in person here at the station. But some more details on that. But the best way to do it is online. You can do it. We accept all major credit cards. You go to rickemerson.com, and there's the little logo up in the right-hand corner of the screen. Go there, click on it. You can get them right now. We're doing it for two weekends in January, the 16th, 17th, and then the 23rd, 24th. For those of you that came to see it this June, a lot of people asked when we were going to do it again, when it's going to come out on DVD or when it's going to come out on a video. And right now, the best place, in fact, the only place for you to see it again is going to be at the Imago Theater next month, January, for two consecutive weekends. We've got 30% new material, which we haven't done it strictly and solely for the purpose of leveraging you in to see it again. I mean, it's just kind of the way it happened. But if you...
Sure.
Well, I mean, it helps. No, we've taken some things out. The show's about... It's between 90 minutes and 2 hours, and there's probably, I don't know, probably 30 minutes of that, 35 minutes of that, that's flat out new, from the last time. But we're gonna be, next week we'll be playing actually we'll play some sound clips of it, we'll play some chunks of it next week so you kinda know, what to expect. But basically, you know, anybody who thinks that air guitaring should be an Olympic, sport, you know, or anybody who knows what KISS, the band, anybody who knows what KISS secretly stands for, Anybody who wonders what the pompous of love is, or anybody who's ever sat and said, what is the warm smell of colitis drifting up through the air anyway? This is for you, if you've ever wondered any of those things. If not, I don't know, go see Love Actually or something. But if you ever wondered any of those things, go to rickemerson.com. And as I said, when they're gone, they're gone. So go there to rickemerson.com and get your buy on. All right. That was just a whole lot of pimping right there. Anyway, so a whole bunch of stuff we didn't get to. We still never got to the Ren and Stimpy news. And Uncle Steve, who hooked us up with the Les Wilson Christmas music that we were playing yesterday. Remember we had that, I'm dreaming of you. He brought by a whole box of those.
I'm listening to it all weekend.
We got Les Wilson swag, yo. We got actual, like, Les Wilson, music we're gonna be giving away.
How did Steve get hooked up with a box?
Because his label put it out. He recorded it. His record label actually released the Les Wilson Drunken the Homeless Guy Christmas, or whatever the hell it is. I mean, it's, his record label actually put it out, you know? So, anyway, so next week we got more music from, Les Wilson and swag on top of it. So, in any event. Let's see, we want to thank, CNN radio correspondent, Dick Uliano, Jenny Garth, Greg Kinnear, Danny DeVito, Ralph Nader, Michael Jackson, Joe Biden, Whitney Houston, Ozzy Osbourne, Kristen from accounting, Jolie from the front desk, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, and, y'all, like us next, followed by the world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7, followed by Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis tonight at 10, tomorrow at 10, and Sunday at 8 p.m. As always, the Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day with the lovely Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer, 1F Matt Peterson. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Have a good weekend. Be safe. We'll see y'all on Monday at noon, yo. Bye.
Well, I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.